Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:07 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is May 13th. There have been a lot of very significant moves have occurred in the markets in here today, not least because of the breakdown in negotiations between the USA and China with regard to a trade deal that could have brought the trade war to a conclusion. Instead, we're looking at an intensification of the trade war, with the prospect of not only the additional 15% tariffs imposed on Friday, but that the rather targeted manner in which tariffs have been imposed on Chinese imports being widened out to all Chinese imports. So the knee-jerk reaction has been to devalue the renminbi. Now, if we look at the renminbi over the course of the last decade, we can see that it devalued by about 10% in the aftermath of the tariffs being imposed. So there are a significant number of people are starting to think that they're going to devalue further. But I suspect that 7 is going to be a rather important Rubicon here in terms of sentiment. One of the reasons why that's the case is because Bitcoin, for example, rallied really very impressively over the weekend. And some of the reason for that is going to be because of capital flight, or at least anticipation of capital flight. There are other reasons why Bitcoin has been firm over the course of the last 3 months. Among those are the evolution of a custody market, so that is going to allow institutional investors to get involved. Then you also have the fact that the price has come back so very much already, that then you additionally have the consideration that the reward for mining Bitcoin is about to halve, and that emphasizes the inelasticity of the market. So those are some of the factors for why the price has been moving higher. But I think the bigger point in the short term is this concern about capital flight. China is obviously going to be very concerned with that. They're not going to want to see dollars leaving the country. That also highlights the reason why it's very unlikely they're going to be able to sell their holdings of US treasuries. There was the idea floated over the weekend that they are investigating how to do that, but there is really no other asset class in the world large enough to absorb the kind of the quantity of money that China has parked in US treasuries. At the worst, they could start selling portions of that massive stockpile, $1.1 trillion worth of treasuries in their account, but there's no way they could liquidate the entire thing. Meanwhile, US treasuries were in positive territory again in here today. When we look at this on a weekly basis, then this looks like a reasonably consistent advance since the end of November last year. There is a sequence of ranges, one above another, and that sequence is going to have to be broken in order to question that this isn't still an advance. Well, if we flip it around and look at the yield, it's down now to 2.4%. It's coming right down to the lows posted at the end of March. But again, this is also a pretty consistent downtrend. The 2-year has been compressing even faster, and it was at a new closing low in here today. Well, the fact that the 2-year yield is compressing faster than the 10-year is in fact leading to the yield curve spread expanding, and it is back above the 20 basis point level. So what the market is clearly pricing in is that we are at the top of the interest rate cycle, and that the most likely course of action is for an interest rate cut. Now, generally speaking, when we look at the performance of stock markets, when the Fed goes on pause, then the market can generally rally. And that's part of the reason why we've had this very impressive rally over the course of the last 4 months. It isn't usually until the Federal Reserve cuts interest rates that the market really takes fright. With the bond market beginning to price in, that is an increasingly likely scenario, well then that is part of the reason why the stock market is pulling back. And of course then you have the additional factors that big companies like Apple have got significant exposure to China, and it was down in a rather dynamic manner in here today, gapping lower. It's right in the region of the trend mean now, so if it can bounce from here, then that will be a happy set of circumstances, but it's going to have to, of course, hold it. Amazon was also down in here today. It is still somewhat overextended relative to the trend mean, so there is potential for additional consolidation. When we look at something like the NASDAQ 100, then it also still has room in which to consolidate and still look reasonably steady. But of course, when we think about what it is that the markets are worried about, well, they're worried about an outright trade war, which is going to increasingly get amped up. And that is obviously a consideration now. Whereas 2 weeks ago, the market was, or investors were willing to give the benefit of the doubt to the fact that there was going to be a deal. They couldn't really give much credence to an intensification of the trade war because everybody knows what's at stake, and yet there has not been an agreement reached. This is a case of who is willing to blink first. And the Chinese are willing to bet that that is going to be the USA because they have, or President Trump has got an election schedule, whereas they don't. So that is, I think, one of the factors that could lead to a longer period of volatility. But the bigger question is, when is it going to happen? And investors are in a show-me mood. They're not, we're probably going to be presented with a significant bout of additional volatility until there is a successful resolution to this period of instability. When we look at what's going on in terms of other markets, Wall Street has been performing, outperforming for a considerable period, and now it is in enduring a process of consolidation. We would really need to see some of those leading indices come back below their respective trend means to really signal a peak of more than short-term significance. Now, the Philadelphia Semiconductors Index is right in the region of its previous peaks, and it has just about unwound its overextension relative to the trend mean. What I find particularly interesting is that when we look at the performance of the constituents of the index, there's really only one hasn't put in a positive performance in here this week, and Qualcomm, having won its case against Apple, has been leading on the upside. But there is a great deal of variance in terms of the performance here. When, for example, we look at Xilinx, they have been associated with the rollout of 5G, and it had accelerated up to its peak and then posted this very large downside weekly key reversal to put in a peak of at least near-term and quite probably medium-term significance. But then when, for example, we look at Nvidia, which really had been the darling of stock markets over the course of the last few years, it pulled back extraordinarily violently in the last quarter of last year, then found encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean. It was down $10 in here today. So that's also a pretty impressive decline here. Well, it also, I think, goes very clearly to highlight that not only has there been a breakdown in the commonality within the sector, but that there have been some very large moves, and the volatility of the sector has picked up really quite considerably. Then, when we look at, for example, like at something like Microchip Technologies, it had got all the way up to test that psychological $100 area, and then pulled back very violently last week. So, we are getting I think a major uptick in terms of the loss of consistency in some of these semiconductor shares. Then the Russell 2000 pulled back in a dynamic manner in here today. It is now back below the trend mean, so I think that is a meaningful move. It's obviously going to test and question whether support starts to come back in around the 1500 level, but that's only 23 points from where we are today, which is just half of today's move. If it pulls back below the 1500 point level, then that is potentially going to suggest that we have a type 2 top with right-hand extension, and there's the possibility that we get a much deeper pullback, and that is obviously going to be, I think, a negative mark in terms of the ability of the US economy to continue to support a bull market in stocks over the medium term. That the small cap sector starting to underperform, well, they are generally interest rate sensitive. And with bond prices rallying, then that's pricing in rate cuts, but they won't cut rates unless there is a clear slowdown. And that is a potential outcome. I did see this rather important graphic in here today, and it gives us the inflationary outcome from tariffs being imposed versus those that had the goods that hadn't had tariffs imposed. So, if we do get an intensification of the trade war, we're going to have an inflationary outcome. That is almost certain. That holds out the prospect that we're going to get a stagflationary environment because the Federal Reserve isn't very well going to raise rates when there's a trade war going on. At the same time, if inflation starts picking up, then that is a rather significant issue. Well, it's hard to imagine that we're going to see the bond market rally persist if that's the case. Well, then people are going to have to start looking for additional safe haven type assets. And I don't know why that's popping up. When we look at gold, it was up in here today and in a reasonably dynamic manner. It's coming back to test the $1,300 area. Now, there is still a sequence of lower rally highs evident since the end of February, but it has bounced from the region of the trend mean. If we can get upside follow through in here over the balance of this week, then that downward bias for the last 3 months will have been broken. And it will have confirmed support in the region of the trend mean. That would greatly improve the possibility that we're going to go back up and test the upper side of this 6-year range. And that would certainly vindicate the, I think, well, my view at least, that this does look like a base formation. When we look at the oil market, it was up in early trading, but was not quite able to hold on to its advance and finished in negative territory. Now, the bigger question is what's going to happen tomorrow? What the commodity complex would appear to be pricing in is that we are going to have a period of slower growth. And the London Metals Index was in mildly positive territory on Friday. When that gets updated tomorrow, it is likely to be in sharply negative territory. Copper prices were down 5 cents in here today. They've clearly failed in the region of the trend mean. That is a failed upside break from that range. There's, I think, a near-term possibility you could go right down and test the $2.50 area. But it's now definitely for the bulls to prove that this isn't a bear market type environment. When we think about what's going on in terms of China and the currency, well, they did certainly support the stock market in here today. It was relatively quiet. Hong Kong was closed today for Buddha's birthday, but Asian markets were in negative territory. The performance of the South Korean market has been leading on the downside, and it has encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean over the course of the last few weeks and then broke to new lows in here today. The Korean won is coming back down to test its lows around the 1200 point area. That's been an area of support since 2011. So, but it does look likely now that we're at least going to test that level. The Taiwan dollar is also testing its recent lows and was at a new closing low in here today. Then the Indonesian rupiah has weakened through the region of the trend mean. So there is certainly some competition in terms of trying to compete with China in terms of devaluing currencies, particularly for countries that compete with China for the export markets. So that is likely to weigh on their not only the currencies but the stocks of the region as well. Well, if China is at risk from a slowdown, then that is of particular interest to countries like Australia, where the Australian dollar is now back below the 70 cent level. The Australian stock market, by contrast, was reasonably steady in here today, so some of the pressure being borne by the currency. When we look at, for example, the New Zealand currency, it was also in negative territory. What I find particularly interesting is that the New Zealand stock market has been so very firm. In fact, it's the only stock market in the world that's still making new highs. Now, one has to question how long that is likely to persist for, but it's still been one of the most consistent trends in the world since 2012, but it is overbought in the short term. Then, the Canadian market is also rather dependent on not only China for its exports, but also for inward investment. And the Canadian dollar was a little bit weaker in here today, and it does look increasingly likely we're going to see additional weakness in the Canadian dollar. So when we then look at Europe, Europe does a lot more business with China than the USA does. The Euro Stoxx index has been down sharply over the last 7 or 8 sessions. It's right in the region of the trend mean, so this is the do or die moment. It's either going to find support here or we're going to move into a much less consistent environment. It's exactly the same situation with the FTSE 100. It's in fact below its trend mean. One of the issues with looking at these kinds of trends is that they have not been particularly consistent. That makes them more difficult to work with. When you're treated to this kind of volatility, it is rather difficult to sell for the simple reason that when you've had these bigger pullbacks over time, then they've generally been buying opportunities. Eventually, that will stop working. But the more important point, I think, is to look at the much longer term chart and to pay due consideration to the fact that the FTSE had been ranging for almost 17 years before breaking out, and that this still looks like a first step above the base, and it will continue to look like that as long as it's trading above the 6,500 point level. That's despite, and of course, that's cold comfort to anyone who had been buying it when it was up at the peaks, but that's the problem with dealing with these types of inconsistent trends. I continue to think that it is increasingly likely we are going to see a deal, but it is unlikely that it is going to happen soon, and therefore, we are probably going to have some additional volatility. What I found also really very interesting in here today was that we had meaningful moves in some of the commodities. Corn, for example, posted an upside key reversal. So I think at Then, when we also look at the soybeans contract, it was off its lows, and wheat also put in an upside key reversal. So, I think that's rather interesting that some of these commodities, having got all the way down to test lows over the course of the last decade, are beginning to steady. What we have not yet seen is some steadying in cotton prices. That was limit down in here today, and it's accelerating lower at this stage. So that has now clearly broken the upward bias since the beginning of 2016, and there is scope for additional weakness. Then, when we look at the coffee price, then it has been steadying around the 85 cent level, but it has not yet broken the downward bias since October. So we are seeing some back and forth in terms of the soft commodities. Part of the reason for that is because there is an infestation of if my memory serves me correctly, there are army butterflies or moths in southern China, which is eating into the soybean and rice harvests. That's coming sharply on the heels of the African swine flu that's decimated the hog herd. Well, rice, for example, is right in the region of the upper side of the range, which persisted for the last 7 or 8 months. So now the question is whether it can push through and out of this evolving base formation. So one thing that we can see is that there is potentially, there is, I think, clearly potential for inflationary pressures to rise as a result of the trade war, and they have not yet been felt, I think partly because of how targeted the trade tariffs have been. But if we no longer have targeted tariffs, then the more broad spectrum inflationary effects of the tariffs are likely to start being felt. And that is going to put the Federal Reserve in a pickle. It is also likely to have a deleterious effect on the economy. It could potentially create a stagflationary environment. That is something also that is likely to affect China and the global economy. The fact that the kinds of markets that are dependent on China for demand growth are pulling back, that's not especially great news, particularly for markets like Australia and Canada. So these are some of the challenges that are evolving right now. What we definitely need to see is that the corrections that we're seeing on Wall Street are just that they are corrective phases following short-term overbought conditions. It's not all that surprising that we get these periods of consolidation, provided that they are limited to reasonably small consolidations rather than retracing the entire advance over the course of the last year. Then generally the rule of thumb is that they should be finding support in the region of the trend mean, or at least holding at least 50% of the advance off the lows from last year. One thing though is that it is not as if people are lining up to buy right now, for the simple reason that we just don't know that the what the outcome of these negotiations is going to be. The uncertainty level has risen considerably. Demand for insurance has increased. The VIX index is recouping the decline that it put in last week. The Japanese yen is also appreciating. So, what? Whoops, that's not the right ticker. Joy rather than JPY. Well, the yen is certainly appreciating in here. Treasuries are appreciating, and gold is appreciating. So, that is a clear example of demand for safe havens. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.